Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minute past the hour, and so far no luck with the healing hands of faith. I'm still feeling pretty rotten, but we'll get through the evening. Listen, this is a special broadcast. This is a very special broadcast. It isn't just every day. Frankly, it isn't any day that I allow right wingers on this program. I try to keep a safe space for us here, for us to carry on our conversations. But in light of the fact, in light of the internecine squabbling, in light of the something approaching the bedlam that has broken out in the Republican Party, I felt like I wasn't doing us right, doing right by us simply sitting here and looking at it from afar and saying, well, what in the name is going on there? What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on there? Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And this is the third day of March, 2016. And so thinking back to my anthropological days, I realized that, well, you know, like Napoleon Chagnon once proved when he discovered the Yanomamo people in the distant tropical jungles of Venezuela, it's not enough to just sit there and say, well, son of a gun, look at them folks with all them blowguns and darts and arrows and bows, and they ain't wearing no clothing. No, you can't just sit there and look at, you gotta get in amongst them. You gotta figure out how they talk and how they think and what it is that moves them and motivates them. And so toward that end, I have broken my own rule this evening in an effort to figure out just exactly what's going on inside the Republican Party. I have invited a noted member of the right wing to engage in conversation this evening to try to glean some sort of an understanding of what's happening. You know, of course, what went on today between Bishop Willard Romney and Donald Trump. So I reached out to a noted conservative commentator and upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian evangelical, Mr. William Robert Neck, known to his friends as Billy Bob. He has long been a scourge of liberals and progressives alike, and I wanted to invite him onto this program. He is connected now, and Mr. Neck, can you hear me? Mr. Neck?
What?
Oh, there you are. Okay, good.
Oh,
good.
I'm sorry. I was just taking a nap while you were blathering on about this, that, and the other thing.
I understand. Hopefully you've got a little rest and you're ready to explain what's going on inside your party.
Well, first off, let's get a couple of things straight. And just for my own benefit, how much crack cocaine have you shot in your eyeball? Because I don't know anything about what you were saying that whole time. It just sounded like quack, 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 quack to me.
Well, I and you know what? I understand that, Mr. Neck. and I would not expect any different. For the record, I have not used any crack cocaine whatsoever. I am a firm devotee of the homemade meth that we make here in these Appalachian hills.
Let's just leave off the French. All right. Let's just speak American. I know I heard
little bitty short words, right?
Africa, Germany. I mean, there weren't a single reference to the United States of America in that intro. So,
well,
I mean,
except the part where they said Merca.
Still, I mean, you don't need those other countries in there, and really, they shouldn't be in there at all because they don't matter.
That's old Europe, isn't it?
It's real. I mean, Africa is probably the oldest Europe there is. I mean, I ain't never been there, and I don't know much about it. But my goodness, why?
Well, it is the biggest country on Earth.
If you say so, I mean, you're just so much smarter than I am. So, go ahead.
Africa. I mean, everybody knows it's a country, but just the same, Mr. Neck. What can you tell us about let's just start at a starting place? Are you a Trump man, or are you a Cruz man, or a Rubio man? What kind of politics are you espousing?
I'm a Jesus man. I really think, I mean, if we want to make America great again, as Donald Trump says, we got to put Jesus back into the White House, and everything else going to just take care of itself. All them Mexican, I mean, Jesus, you know, Donald Trump says that we need a wall, and he's right, but Jesus could build that wall just by, like, blinking.
Well, he could, couldn't he? I mean, that's the miracle part of it, right?
Exactly. I mean, he would just go, okay, well, we wouldn't even need a wall because all the Mexicans...
It could be like a Jesus force field.
They would be afraid to come across into the land that God created.
You reckon that would include Americans? You reckon that would include Mexicans named Jesus?
Mexicans. I mean, they could be from Brazil. They could be from Venezuela. They could be from wherever the Mexicans come from. A Mexican is a Mexican. So, yeah, I don't think the name would really much matter.
So you referenced Donald Trump, though.
I like him.
You do like him.
Again, we don't know that Jesus ain't going to come back before the election. We don't know that. I think if we all, and if your radio... Listen, is this a radio show? I don't even know what this is.
It is. It's radio. There are no photographs here.
Okay.
There's no video, and we don't have a secret camera in your remote location down there behind the corn pone curtain.
Well, I already know that because I sweep it twice a day.
We do that too here in Appalachia with the dirt floors. You got to sweep it, otherwise the dust just choke you to death.
Well, I ain't dusty and I ain't filthy. But I do sweep for electronic devices twice daily.
So it is. It's just radio. But you mentioned the second coming of Jesus. If he was to show up before the November election, would that make a mess of things?
It wouldn't make a mess of anything. I mean, we would all, well, you wouldn't be redeemed. You'd be roasting in hell.
Yeah, cast into the lake of eternal fire, yes. We'll take that as read.
Thousands of degrees hot and not a glass of water in sight.
Nope.
And you'd be going, oh, ho, ho. Oh, hello, Joseph Stalin. How are you? Yep. Oh, it's so good to see you.
And George Wallace standing outside the gates teasing me with ice water, right?
Exactly. I mean, George Wallace was a good man. He had it straight on.
So how do you sort out, though, Mr. Neck? How do you sort out between, say, a man like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz? And does that bother you, the fact that he's not a real American, and little Marco Rubio and Donald Trump, because they all say that they are Jesus's buddy?
Well, you know, we're talking false prophets here. They're both Cubans. We know already that Fidel Castro and Joseph Stalin and who's that guy over in Korea all got together. And I apologize to the ladies, but they had a potent cocktail of baby juice, for the lack of a better phrase,
yes,
that they all mixed up and impregnated his mama with. So he is a little bit of all of them. Obama is. The commies are treacherous, and we can't say for sure that Cruz and Rubio ain't commies, and we should err on the side of caution.
And so that leaves you. And were you upset when Mike Huckabee dropped out, Mr. Nick?
I was upset when Ben Carson dropped out. I like Huckabee. I heart Huckabee, really. He's a good man. He's a little on the chubby side, but he can't really help that. He's tried to work
on
that.
He's big boned.
He's big boned, and he's a good dad. He taught his kids how to love animals and nature and all that, which is what we should really be, focused on. He's a good man, but,
And his boys know how to tie all them knots, like in the Boy Scout manual.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think they're both Eagle Scouts, if I remember. And this was pre-homo Boy Scouts. When they didn't have, merit badges for, BDSM and fellatio.
We'll ask the ladies to pretend that you didn't say that.
Well, I apologize. I don't like to. Sometimes the truth needs to be told, and I do nothing if not tell the truth.
Well, so that does kind of leave you with Donald Trump. Are you at all disturbed, Mr. Neck? Are you at all disturbed by the presence or by the endorsement he has received by the Imperial Knights of the Ku Klux Klan?
Why should I be? Are they not Americans?
Well, indeed, I think that's probably the simplest answer of all. Why should you?
All right. It's not like they're commies. It's not like
they don't like
socialists.
Commies, do they?
No, they don't. Which is just fine. This is all just a tempest and a tortoise to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just it don't make no sense. And I'm gonna remind you, if somebody emailed me this thing that said that March is National Stop Blaming White People Month.
I had no idea. I thought it was National Women's History Month.
No, it's Women's History. I'm sorry.
where you are is probably Women's Hysteria Month.
It's pretty fun. Well, I'm in Sodomy Central, Boston, Massachusetts. I just convert.
Oh, dear God.
Believe me, it's where God wants me to be.
Kind of like sending Jonah to Nineveh.
Exactly. And I'm not going to say that I enjoy it. But I'm doing God's work. I'm stopping people from being gay. I'm protecting preborns. And so, what else can one do? If God tells you to go to Memphis, you don't go to Dallas.
I couldn't agree more. So you mentioned something about a tempest in a tortoise shell. Was that a reference to Mitch McConnell?
That's just common American phrase. You probably emigrated here from Russia or Poland or something like that. Tempest in a tortoise.
Oh,
you never heard that phrase before?
We talk real funny here in the hills, but that's one I never caught. I thought it was a Mitch McConnell reference.
No,
I thought you might be upset with Mitch McConnell being how he's married to a foreigner.
Well, I am, but I wasn't trying to hurt him personally or nothing.
You weren't casting aspersions on his asparagus.
You gonna have to translate that into English out of Russian for me?
Well, that's from the original Gomert. I figured you probably had a great deal of respect for the congressman from Texas, Louis Gohmert.
He's a lovely man, and I have broken bread with him in the past, but he has never ever said that to me.
No, he said that to Eric Holder, the Attorney General.
Okay.
Yeah.
I imagine
you're not.
You just throw out all these facts that you think are relevant, and just I mean that's what liberals do.
Yeah. Well, I didn't figure you were a big Eric Holder fan.
No, I mean, you know, I mean, if you like the Black Panthers and you want jackbooted Negroes stomping through your town, forcing gay marriage on people, I think, you know, Eric Holder's fine.
Now, you are one of America's foremost conservative Christian commentators. How many guns do you own, Mr. Neck?
That's classified information.
Right. Because the
I'm not. You know, this is. I mean, you know, a child would be able to see through that ruse right now. I mean, the moment I tell you how many guns I own, you're going to subtract that number from how many I own and take away all of the ammo. I mean, I know that. You know, you're with the government. Don't think I don't know that you're working directly for Barack Osama Homo bin Laden.
Well, we try not to publicize it, but you figured us out.
Like I said, a child would be able.
Yeah, your mind is like a steel trap, Mr. Neck. It is. It's like a steel trap.
With a lot of WD-40 on it and well-primed. And just all set up.
You know, you don't want to spray that stuff in a closed area. The fumes can get to you after a while.
I'm aware of that. Again, you know, y'all be as condescending as you want to be.
I thought we were going to limit this to little words. I mean, condescending, that's pretty impressive. I am. I'm very impressed.
Well, I'm glad that you've learned enough English after emigrating from Russia or Poland that you actually understood what that word meant.
So, tell me in terms of theology and prophecy, Mr. Neck, what will happen to America if Hillary Clinton is elected president?
We'll all be cast into a lake of fire.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Is that on Inauguration Day or the day
November
after?
7th.
Before she ever even takes office?
Yeah, November 7th. God's going to... God has put up with Barack Osama Homo bin Laden to kind of teach us a lesson on what happens when you hire gay Negroes to run your country. I mean, and he's done with that.
So you've said that a couple of times. Barack Osama Homo Obama.
Barack Osama Homo bin Laden. That's his full name.
And it was is that in the original Kenyan?
Yes.
Okay. What does it do you have to know what it's what's the translation?
Barack Osama Homo bin Laden?
Yeah.
Black power will destroy America, I believe.
That sounds pretty close. Yes.
I don't know languages. I'm relying on the people I trust, like my pastor.
I understand. Are you a deacon?
I'm an honorary deacon. I wind up doing a lot of traveling. They base, they're always happy to have me there. And I do a lot of counseling,
but they find a way for you to, there's a lot of work for you to do away from the church out on the road. Is that correct, Mr. Neck?
Yes. And I'm not allowed to talk about that.
But it does involve witnessing, doesn't it?
It does involve witnessing.
Preferably.
I think I
understand.
We'll just move on to a different.
Well, I want to go back to you refer What is your source for your claim that that the president of the United States is a homosexual?
Larry Sinclair, back in 2007, gave an amazing deposition of a night where Barack Osama Homo bin Laden paid him as a male escort to get in the back of a limousine and have like a night of cocaine while Obama smoked crack, and they performed ungodly acts on one another. And the woman down in Texas, I can't remember what her name, Sue something, down in Texas also has, she just got elected to State Board of Education down there, God be praised. And, you know, she also has a lot of information that Barack Osama Homo bin Laden was very, very active in the homo community in Chicago.
Has he
It's just fact.
Has he continued his homosexual ways in Washington, D.C.? Has the White House become Gomorrah on the Potomac?
Well, I mean, if you look at the state of America right now, there's only really one answer to that, and that's yes.
Yeah, okay. Let me just ask you, I trust you're not on the road right now. They've just opened up the CPAC convention there across the river from Gomorrah on the Potomac and at the Gaylord Hotel. Were you not invited? I would expect a conservative commentator like you would be perfectly well suited for CPAC.
I've done CPAC before, but I politely declined this time because some of my witnessing would be in conflict with that. You know, they had already booked the plane ticket down to Central America. I was busy.
Yes, I understand that. I only ask because obviously you are a zealous defender of the Second Amendment. And yet, oddly enough, CPAC has a big sign, and of course, it's not, you know, this isn't a bunch of sissy liberals.
Yeah.
And commie progressives. This is,
yeah.
This is good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical Christians. But they got a sign up at their convention that says no guns. Why do you reckon that is?
Caution. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, here's the thing. They got people with guns outside. It's all about pre-screening. If you know everybody in there, you know that they're safe. They ain't gonna let any towel heads or Mexicans or anybody like that, you know, disaffected Negroes. From what I understand, before a Negro can get into CPAC, they have to take a literacy test to prove that they're allowed in. You know, it's like, you know, when was Ronald Reagan born?
Is that how Ben Carson gets in?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, and I just, you know, there's a lot of people. They're like, oh, the Republican Party is racist. Conservatives are racist, and we're not racist because Ben Carson has to take the exact same literacy test as everybody else does. All right.
Well, every other black person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. It seems to me a bit worrisome because, I mean, I wouldn't, personally, if I was at CPAC, I wouldn't feel real comfortable without my Second Amendment remedy because, you know, there's those, I mean, what about the homosexual Republicans? You know, the log cabin Republicans. What if they start getting all homosexual there inside CPAC and you don't have a Second Amendment remedy?
Well, you just punch them in the face and say, get away from my butt. And then you call the people from the outside. I mean, see, this the vision of America is that you should be able to trust everybody. All right? And in you were talking about some feminist homo thing about safe space earlier. And, I mean, it's a stupid term. But when you walk in, it's like going into a Cracker Barrel, all right? When you walk into a Cracker Barrel, you expect that you're going to be safe because people who go to Cracker Barrel are good people, all right? You know that, you know, there's not going to be any undue or untoward people.
Yeah, from your mouth to God's ear, absolutely.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a big Cracker Barrel. CPAC is
a lot of crackers.
So, a lot of cracker. You know what I'm saying. You can make all your funny ha ha jokes that you want. But yeah, you know. So I mean, why do you need guns when you have God watching over CPAC? God's there. He's making sure that everybody is safe.
Well, what about,
right? Because
what
I mean,
about,
that's what it's all about.
What about all these so-called progressive or liberal Christians that say it's okay for gay people to get married? Lake of Fire?
Lake of Fire. You cannot be a Christian and say it's okay for Adam and Steve to have butt sex with the dead corpse of Joseph Stalin. All right? That's just not okay. It will never be okay. You know, and that was one of the shames that Ben Carson dropped out, because I think Ben Carson would have brought us back to Levitical teachings. We would have been able to stone homosexuals and adulterers again.
But we wouldn't have been able to eat shrimp, would we?
That's fine. I don't like shrimp.
But what about people who do like shrimp?
Well,
oh, Lake of Fire. Got it. Never mind.
Lake of Fire.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell me, you seem to have a great deal of regard, Mr. Neck, for Dr. Carson. Do you think there's any chance that Trump might choose him as his vice presidential running mate?
I would hope so, because I would think that having a Negro on the ticket would make all the other Negroes kind of happy. I think that would just kind of, you know, lock in the Negro vote pretty good. Because, I mean, who don't like Ben Carson? You know, I mean, the man's a brain surgeon. How hard can it be? After you've poked around inside somebody's brain and you separated Siamese twins so they could live a long, long life.
Normal life.
A long, normal life where they don't have to be, you know, like, oh, I want to go out on a date. No, I want to stay home and read a book. You know.
That's hard to sort out with a coin toss, isn't it? Especially when you're the one with the arm.
Exactly. You know, so, You know, Ben Carson, he got in his home, he got a picture of him and Jesus. And, you know,
in the same picture, I know, in the same picture.
If those aren't those bona fide things, I don't know what else you would need to know.
But what about the white folks who don't like black folks? Do you think that might turn them off of a Trump ticket?
The white folks who don't like black folks. I don't think so. I mean, you know, mostly, I mean, Ben Carson's one of the good ones, all right? And Ben Carson
knows his place.
He knows his place. He says yes sir, no sir when he's supposed to. You know, I mean, you saw him in the debates. He always deferred, which was real good of him.
Yeah, and even when he wanted to get attacked, he said, please, won't someone attack me?
He did say that, and you know, he knows his place. He's a good one. So I don't think anybody could really have a problem, and I think that, you know, people, you know, I think that you know, and it's sad that there is racism in America, but it's America. What are you going to do?
Well, in your worldview, Mr. Neck, we wouldn't have racism if it weren't for the black people, would we?
Your mouth to God's ears, as you said. Yeah, I mean, You know, if black people would stop complaining, there'd be nothing to complain about.
Stop jumping in front of police bullets and...
You know, stop, drop, and roll when you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. Hands up over your head.
Or would you say stop, step, and fetch it?
I would say stop, drop, and roll. I think that that has a much better sound to it. It's what I would say. I mean, you may disagree, but that's your job.
Well, we try to ask the hard penetrating questions here, Mr. Neck. Although that probably is a theological that's probably an offensive phrase for you, and I apologize. But the point here is to try to understand.
I got the full armor of God on right now. Nothing you can say is going to harm me.
Your loins are girded, I trust.
My loins are girded, and I got the full armor of God head to toe. So, I mean, you know, you just keep shooting the arrows. They're going to bounce off of me. I don't care.
Right. You're rubber, and I'm glue and all of that.
All right.
Okay, so... Let's move on to another topic here. We've talked about firearms and the Second Amendment and gay marriage and all these things that really matter in America. What is your position on access to health care? Because as you know, there are a lot of states in this country where working people can't have access to health care. Mr. Trump has said that he personally will repeal Obamacare and replace it with something tremendous.
That's another good thing. I mean, I think that, you know, and yeah, I mean, if you listen to Mr. Trump, then I mean, if you listen to him, not if you're just like, you know, looking for things to like, he's wrong on that, and he's wrong on this, and he's wrong on this, and he's wrong on that. If you listen to him,
saying that he's wrong on things?
I'm not saying, if you would let me finish, or you could just jump in. That's fine. Either way, you just let me know.
Well, no, you confused
full
me.
Full armor of God.
Yeah, but you confused me because you said he's wrong on this and he's wrong on that.
That was my attempt to go into sounding like a liberal.
Okay. You were arguing from hyperbole then.
I'll change the voice. I'll like lisp or something. Well, he's wrong on this. He's wrong on that.
I understand.
Does that make you feel more comfortable?
No, but
sir?
I do understand. I understand okay. That. Right. Okay. So he isn't wrong about anything.
He's not wrong about anything. And as I was attempting to say, if you listen to the words that he is saying from his mouth, then you will know that everything's going to be great.
Tremendous?
Huge. Repealing Obamacare, which is just, you know, I mean, I don't want to pay for somebody else's health care, you know? I mean, you know, some liberal defeatocrat, you know, dressing up as Judy Garland and shooting crack cocaine into their eyeball. I don't want to pay for that.
That's the second. What can you? Because I got to admit, I've never been. What is this about cocaine and eyeballs? Is that a thing?
I guess it is. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm told. That's what my pastor tells me. Is you got people shooting crack cocaine into your eyeball, so they can get more stoned. Faster.
That's the preferred method. The things you learn. You know, there's a lot of things get talked about from the pulpit that I'd never heard of. I mean, the preachers around here are they go on and on and on a Sunday, and you should see the little old blue-haired ladies in the pews. They go on and on and on about how homosexual people have sex. Where are they learning it? Is there like some regenerative therapy former homosexual who's told them all about it. Where does that come from, Mr. Neck?
I think it's the ex-gays. I think the ex-gays are trying to they play a huge role in warning people off of the dangers and sins of being a homo. And at the risk, I might add, at the risk of their own life, because there is a lot of ex-gay bashing that goes on.
What does that mean? Ex-gay bashing.
Ex-gay bashing. It's when a ex-gay tries to convert a homo into being a not homo, and then said homo starts beating up on him. Usually a slap fight, but
people getting strangled with feather boas and the like.
If you go to my YouTube channel, I can't get into your chat room. I've been trying for about Jesus, I guess, don't want me in there. People are probably cussing and posting pornography. But if you go to my YouTube channel, YouTube Billy Bob Neck, you'll see. I did a little thing called Stop Ex-Gay Bashing, and it is about the struggles. It has actually testimonials from ex-gays about the discrimination that they faced not having penises, et cetera.
They've had their penises removed?
No, that they.
They yearn for someone else's.
Exactly.
Okay. And I apologize, Mr. Neck, for not bringing up your YouTube channel. I am familiar with it, and let me also apologize. It's one of them liberal things. We've got secret Kenyan Muslim software on our chat room that prevents conservatives from being able to enter the room, as you can might well imagine.
Well, I mean that's probably why I can't get on. Everybody gets to talk except me.
Well, conservatives.
That's fine. I don't care.
Conservatives all over this country are persecuted, are they not? I mean, as a member of the liberal media, I know I try to do my part, but it's like that all over, isn't it?
You're doing just a fine job trying to, and I'm sure people in the chat room are like, ooh, he just ripped him a censored new one, and oh, what a good censored. But the fact of the matter is, y'all are deceiving yourselves, and Jesus is sitting right next to me, giving me the thumbs up.
I can well imagine that he is. Well, I want to go back to these ex-gays. Are they ever do they have a hard time being heterosexual?
They got Jesus on their side. It's a cakewalk if they weren't getting their brains bashed in by homos.
I see. So are there Christian safe houses for ex-gays?
I'm not going to talk about that, because if I do, then the next thing you know, I'm putting a fellow Christian at danger, and one who's gone through HE double hockey sticks to become saved.
And now I take it that most of the homosexuals we're talking about here are men. What about the lesbians?
There's girl homos. Yeah, we know there's girl homos.
Are they as big a problem, a bigger problem, a less? Where do they fit in the grand scheme of things?
That's kind of a judgment call. I think that girl homos are a little bit better. Just because they have, plumbing ability and they can fix cars.
And no male homosexual can do that.
The male homos can, you know, do like decorating and, oh, maybe I think you should plant azaleas over here. Yeah, basically.
And
generally, male homos, male ex-gays, unless, you know, they go through, you know, full reparation therapy, which involves how to fix cars, how to lay bricks, how to...
chew tobacco.
You know, the proper way to cook a steak, which, you know, most of them don't know, you know, because they're all just like, oh, no, that's too meaty for me.
I thought they was all vegetarians.
A lot of them are. A lot of them are the vegans, or however that's said, you know, which is why they're, you know, usually... pale and anemic, where they have those bellies that like stick out because they ain't got enough nutrition.
Well, you said pale and anemic, and that reminded me of Sarah Palin. Now,
I don't even understand that. I mean, come on.
Well, no, I'm not saying she was pale and anemic. It just sounded like you said Palin when you said pale and anemic.
Pale and anemic.
So,
yeah, you drinking, boy?
Never during the show, only before it, but and after. It reminded me of Sarah Palin because, you know, I don't have, Mr. Neck, I don't have conservatives on this program just every day to ask about their conservative world. Is Sarah Palin still relevant to you?
Sarah Palin is in my opinion, a conservative martyr. Now, I'm glad that she's not president because girls shouldn't be president. All right?
The Bible says a woman should not have authority over a man, does it not?
And she should be a helpmeet, is what she ought to be. I mean, you know, had John Surrender McCain won, and, you know, he had some kind of Vietnam flashback and went crazy and, like, jumped out the White House window, then Sarah Palin would have had power over all of America, and, you know, God would have destroyed us a lot earlier than
like
November 8th.
Like a fire.
Like a fire.
Now, should she be speaking in public the way she does? Because it's my understanding, according to the Bible, which y'all take literally, that women are to be silent, and if they have any questions, they're to ask their husbands, but otherwise they're supposed to shut up.
I think she's walking a fine line. I'm not going to lie. I think sometimes she gets a little mouthy, and she got to do something about that slut of a daughter of hers. I mean, do I have problems with Sarah Palin? I got a couple of problems with her, but you know, when you got somebody who's speaking the truth, you got to let them speak the truth.
Is that kind of like when you're speaking in tongues?
Again, you know, full armor of God, mock away.
Well, no. There was no mockery in that.
Full armor of God.
I mean, I'm not trying to mock here. I'm asking questions because I don't understand. I don't have the knowledge.
Let's just say,
I'm a lost. I'm a lost soul. Am I not? I'm a lost soul.
And rightly so. I mean, I hope you don't get found, because, my goodness.
Well, I mean, but don't you want me to get saved?
Not particularly.
But I thought Jesus wanted everybody to get saved.
He does, but he's become more selective over the years.
Is that why we've got Jehovah's Witnesses now? I mean, 144,000 or something? Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
No, I'm not. No, that's just insulting. Again, full armor, God, mock away.
I don't know how a fellow's supposed to ask straightforward questions if you're just going to say full armor of God, mock away. I'm not mocking you. I'm trying to find out what you believe, who you are. I'm trying to find out what's going on inside the soul of the Republican Party, Mr. Neck.
Liberal defeated Kratz are going to hell. What part of that don't you understand?
But that's not a platform.
Liberal defeated Kratz are going to hell. Which part don't you understand? Do you not understand the liberal defeated Kratz? Do you not understand the going to hell part?
Okay, so how do I keep from going to hell?
Find Jesus.
Okay, where do I start?
You can read the Bible.
Can I go into a Catholic church and find Jesus?
Catholics ain't Christians, boy.
Okay. This is information. How about the Mormons?
If you look online and if you just Google the death cookie, all right? Go ahead and Google
death cookie.
Right now, the death cookie. You're going to come up with probably one of the greatest chick tracks ever made, which explains how Satan created the Catholic Church.
Are you talking about them little pamphlets that I find there on the urinal in the rest area men's room?
Thousands of degrees hot, not a glass of water inside. Yep.
Okay, so I can't find Jesus in the Catholic Church. How about the Mormons?
Mormons ain't Christians. There's a lot of false prophets out there.
Presbyterians?
Presbyterians, no.
Episcopals?
No.
Lutherans?
No.
I'm guessing the Unitarians are right out.
Exactly. That ain't even a religion. It's just a bunch of people drinking coffee in the same place. Starbucks is a Unitarian church, in case y'all didn't know that.
I didn't.
Starbucks is a Unitarian church. They don't really talk about anything. It's just, can I have some more coffee? Yeah, sure. You know, and then they just kind of nod instead of pray.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is. Every time one of them...
Well, is there a place where a person can get a godly upstanding cup of coffee?
And not be infected with the homovirus? No.
Nowhere?
Well, there's a couple of Dunkin' Donuts around Boston that you can do that at.
But, I mean, I was thinking maybe McDonald's coffee or something.
No.
Well,
it's part of the New World Order, boy. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
This is eye-opening stuff for me, Mr. Neck. I didn't realize that there was that there was so much, iniquity around me everywhere. So no Presbyterians, no Mormons, no Catholics, no yep. Lutherans, no yep. Episcopals.
Yep.
I'm Greek Orthodox?
Nope.
I mean, who then? Where do I go? I mean, what kind of church do you go to? What
Primitive
denomination?
Baptist Church.
Say again, please.
Primitive Baptist Church.
Or
Evangelical Church. If you go to an Evangelical Church, you're probably going to be okay. But if there's more than, I would say, 7 to 15 people, then you're talking mega church, and that's false prophecy.
Well, see, I was getting ready to ask you about your Creflo Dollars and your Joel Osteens and your Kenneth Copelands.
No, they that ain't Jesus. That ain't even close to Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, small groups. That's
wherever two or more are gathered together in my name.
Well,
but that don't mean 2,000.
7 to 15, yeah.
Do there need? You said Primitive Baptist. Do there need to be snakes involved?
There could be. There could not be. That's kind of up to the person. If you're not a snake person, don't do it. If you are a snake person, help yourself.
Well, that sounds like kind of some squishy theology. I mean, that sounds like if you're gay, be gay. If you're not gay, be straight or something. I mean, isn't that kind of the same thing?
I'm sorry. Did you say if you're gay, be gay?
Well, yeah.
How the hell?
Well, I mean, you just said if you're a snake person, you're a snake person. If you're not a snake person, you're not a snake person. That sounds like, well, I mean. sounds kind of like a comparison. That sounds kind of gay.
Sounds kind of like the crack is kicking in on you, son.
Well, I'm just trying to learn here. So.
Well, you ain't real smart. Let me just throw that out.
I do the best with what I got.
Well, you're gonna have to try a little bit harder. There is only do. Jesus said that.
There is no try. Jesus said absolutely. Do you ever get out to share in some fellowship with the folks at Westboro Baptist?
I have not. He does a good job, or did rather, because he's dead.
He's gone to his reward.
He's up in heaven sipping lemonade at the right hand of Jesus. Yes. He's done a real good job. Fred Phelps did a real good job, but he didn't raise his kids real good.
Well, I mean, isn't his daughter exercising dominion and control over men, that Shirley Phelps Roper?
No, she got kicked out of that, and rightly so. Somebody, rightly went back, through and actually looked at doctrine and said, get in the kitchen, start making us sandwiches again.
Well, I'm going to end this conversation. I fear, Mr. Neck, with me having as many or more questions than I had going in. I understand you have a godly biblical worldview, but I don't see how anybody how's anybody supposed to get right with you.
You ain't getting right with me. You're getting right with Jesus. I got nothing to do with that. If you're trying to please me, then go directly to the lake of fire. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You need to talk to Jesus. Jesus.
Well, that's the thing, Mr. Neck. I just asked you, and apparently all the places where all the other Christians are talking to Jesus, they're not talking to. Maybe they're talking to secret Satan or something.
They are talking to secret Satan.
So
which part of Primitive Baptist Church or Evangelical Church?
Yeah, but I mean, Donald Trump is not a Primitive Baptist. He said he's a card-carrying Presbyterian.
He's talked to Jesus, and Jesus gave him a pass. All right.
Well, how do you get the pass then? I mean, if a Presbyterian can get a pass,
I'm not going to tell you how to get a pass because you ain't even a Christian, son. It's like, how do I get money out of the bank? How do I rob this bank? Oh, well, you just go in through here. Here's the code. Y'all got to do the work. See, this is just typical liberal defeat crap. Gimme, 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 gimme. You want all of the money and you want, instant salvation. Well, you got to work for it, boy.
Yeah, well, okay. That's fine.
Get a job. Get a spiritual job. Stop being on the Jesus welfare, all right?
You want to define
define Jesus welfare?
Yeah.
I'm talking about you just like, I could just sit here and shoot crack cocaine into my eyeball and Jesus going to love me. Well, that ain't the case, all right?
So is Jesus going to love me if I quit shooting crack cocaine into my eyeballs, which I've never done?
It's a start. You start going to church, you could start voting Republican the way that God wants you to.
So if I vote Republican,
y'all got this real strange version of what free will is. That free will means you can do whatever you want. Free will means you can do whatever God wants you to do. He give you the choice, and you're supposed to do what God wants you to do. That's free will.
Okay. You're talking to a liberal audience. You're talking to a progressive community here, Mr. Neck. What would you say to them? I mean, do you want people to be saved?
I can do it in 8 words.
Okay, we'll count.
Stop being gay and go to church.
That's 7.
Now.
Oh, okay. That's 8. That's 8. But you got to go to the. It's all Primitive Baptist, right?
Or evangelical, as long as it's in the 7 to 15 range, yes.
But not one of them storefront evangelical churches that's got a bunch of Mexicans in it. 7 to 15 Mexicans.
If they're illegal, no.
How do you find out?
You say, let me see your green card or I'm calling INS. And you're helping America when you do that.
And then when they all run away, you can be a Primitive Baptist church with a membership.
Then you can open up your own church in that storefront, and it's a win-win.
And it's all tax-free.
Exactly.
This is a complicated philosophy you have here, Mr. Neck, and it will.
Like I said, this ain't just like, you know, oh, I'm going to throw out a prayer rug, go down on my knees, and everything is okay. This ain't like is. Islam, Muslim, whatever they call it. All right, this ain't, you know, again, I know it's hard for liberal defeatocrats to understand just the concept of working towards a goal. But that's what it is. And I don't know if I can properly explain that to y'all, you know, when you don't want to hear it to begin with.
Well, we've certainly provided you an open forum this evening. I don't know how the audience is going to feel about me doing this, but you've gotten to have your say. Is there anything that you would like to add or take away? I mean, as we wrap up.
Stop being gay and go to church
now. That's 8, right? And how do people find your witnessing online?
Y'all can go to the YouTube page.
Okay, and
it's Billy Bob. It's www.
Just three.
YouTube.com. I think it's just Billy Bob Neck.
And do you do all your own videos, or I mean, do you have a staff? I mean, I know there's only 7 to 15.
No, I outsource them to India. What do you think? My goodness gracious!
Naturally. Well,
I got some guy named Patel doing all my videos for me.
I understand. I would love to say that it's been a pleasure. I really would. We will have another conversation on another day, Mr. Neck, perhaps if the spirit moves you. Until then, maybe after the Republican convention, if we haven't all been cast into the lake of fire by then, perhaps you can come back and explain what exactly has happened inside the Republican Party. That was part of what I wanted to find out, but. Somehow we didn't quite get there, did we?
Somehow the crack just like took you to another place, I guess. Which is why you should stop that stuff.
Well, what are you smoking? It sounds like
I'm not smoking nothing.
Sounds like you're hitting a bong back there.
I ain't hitting no bong at all.
No, okay.
If you're hearing anything, it's probably Satan at my back trying to get me to stray off the path, but that ain't happening.
Have you ever backslid?
Nope.
Never not once?
Never not once.
Not even that one time over there? Not over there in the men's room?
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, okay. All right, Billy Bobneck, thank you very kindly.
All right, God is love.
Absolutely. All right. Lake of Fire, full armor of God.
I ain't going to see you there.
Nah, I won't be looking.
All right.
Bye now. Upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, Billy Bob Neck. And I don't know. Never touch a chick tract without a double layering of medical grade gloves there in the interstate rest area men's room. That's all I can say. Let's take a break. We are at the top of the hour. It's a minute before. No, it's 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. This is The Horn, listener-supported conversation radio. Like I said, we'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Run.
honest to God, that is one of my favorite albums. I've been listening to it for years, The Crash Test Dummies. Smart, smart, smart music. And, as an added bonus, Canadian. I mean, we got a bunch of ingrates out there. Ron in the far frozen north said, finally, some Canadian music. We had Canadian music on Monday, damn it. Before we run over to the phones, and we're going to run over to the phones real quick, I want to send out some thank yous. Thank you very kindly to brand new subscriber Grace. Thank you, Grace. And thank you to Shorty in L.A. and subscribers John and Ron and Janice and Terry and Greg and Timothy. Thanks to all of you. We met Ron's previous challenge and Steve in New York's challenge, and we finished okay last night. That is, in fact, what's the word I'm looking for? Huge. And thank you as well. Thank you as well to Alec, who got us started on this evening, and Chris. Thank you very kindly indeed. We have $100 in fundraising to go for the evening. And, if you can, 10 at 10, it works. Yeah, we got $100 to go in fundraising this evening. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. And unless I am mistaken, I think we have Thomas from FYINation.com because I'm getting preempted again this evening.
I'm sorry, but Brother Bob, I need some thoughts and prayers sent my way.
Thoughts and prayers.
I do have two things that I'd like to note. Bernie is going to the dark side. Bernie Sanders is going to be in Detroit. I just found this out watching Fox News.
I thought you meant he was going to endorse Hillary.
No. He is.
Sorry. Wait. Stop. Reboot.
Okay.
I gotta get back into me mode, and instead of that, what we just did in the last hour. Sorry. I mean, yeah, that's what the tequila's for.
Yeah. As Pat would say.
Yes.
Sorry. I had to. I wanted to test something.
No,
but
yeah, you do that well. Yes.
Thank you. I like my soundboard. What can I say? Here's the thing. Bernie Sanders is going on Fox News for a town hall on Monday in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
I know a lot of liberals don't watch Fox and wouldn't know that information. I just saw it because we're prepping for the debate and to make sure that everything's working for that. And I thought that it might be good, because me and Mike talked about this on his show. I called in and I said, and I'd like your opinion on this, should Bernie do this and should Hillary, because of how they treated her? And he was torn on it. And I was torn about Hillary going too. They invited the campaign, Clinton campaign. She said she had a prior commitment. I think she should have gone, because she said at the debate she's willing to go anywhere and meet and find common ground anywhere. You know, and if they laid out specific details and Bernie was willing to go, I don't see why this would have been a big loss for her. But now the optics is she won't go, and Bernie's willing to go anywhere, even to Republican territory, to try to, you know, open to change minds.
What's he got to lose?
Exactly. And I would think the same would be Hillary. I think that would be, if you can't stand up to, it's like Trump going on to Megyn Kelly. If you can't stand up to Megyn Kelly, how are we going to believe you're going to stand up to Putin?
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't think the same standard applies to Trump.
Well, that's true. But it does with me.
I read our buddy Chris up in the Northwest Territories sent me a link today. Hi, Chris. From Vox. Not Fox, Vox.
Okay.
About the growing field of research into authoritarianism.
Yes.
And it's a lengthy article, and I recommend it to all and sundry. But one of the upshots of it is, if I understand it correctly, and I've been reading about authoritarianism for Jesus, more than a decade. The upshot of it is that Trump is right. If you are striking the chord of authoritarianism, that that rides like a toxic subcurrent through American, what passes for American culture, you can get away with anything. You can shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and they'll keep voting for you. You can you can have the Klan outside your rallies roughing up people, and you can get away with it.
Well, here's the question, Bob, then, because we're having this debate internally on FYI Nation with our hosts, and you're an affiliate of ours, and I asked Nicole Sandler this earlier today because she had open lines. Is he a demagogue? Is he a fascist? Is it both? Or is he
it
just
doesn't.
Enough?
It really the. I mean, I call him a fascist because that's what I see in him. But if I understand it, based on the article that I read today, and it was a real eye opener. I mean, I mean, my lips were moving while I was reading silently. It was like that. But it doesn't really matter what kind of label you attach to him. What matters is the way that people respond to him. It's the fact that they don't care about the Klan business. They don't care about the misogyny. They don't care about homophobia or racism or anything, because he is touching a happy, but well, it's not a happy place. He's touching this place inside of them that desperately wants reassurance. Okay. If parents out there will know, if you've ever had a fussy baby, and, you know, whether it's right or wrong, at some point in time, the kid's screaming through the night, and you gotta get up and go to work the next morning. Well, sometimes you pick baby up, and you put baby in bed between mommy and daddy, and you just pat the baby's little back. And eventually the baby will calm down and stop screaming.
Well, here's the question.
And that's an authoritarian in America.
No, you're right. I don't know if you've ever seen the original UK version of House of Cards. There's a great line of it with Francis Urquhart, who says that basically the country is asking for a father figure. We're looking for a father figure because we're a bunch of misogynists and we can't deal with mommy. So that's my take on it. What do you think? Am I? How far off base am I?
I don't know that you're off base, Thomas. It's just I don't think Republicans, Democrats, progressives, liberals, whatever. Willard R. Money. I don't think we've really got a handle on the Trump phenomenon. Okay, because it's not about Trump.
It's about
there's no getting around the fact that yes, the Republican Party laid the groundwork for all of this, but it is not something that they were prepared to do. I mean, I was thinking as I read this article earlier today, it's kind of like Israel. Israel went after and got rid of the PLO because the PLO was a pain in Israel's ass. And the way they got rid of the PLO was by creating or helping to create Hamas. And Hamas is an even bigger pain in their ass. And that's exactly what's going on with the Republican Party. They got rid of the Rockefeller liberal moderate Republicans because they were a pain in conservatism's ass, and they created, you know, there's nothing grassroots about the Tea Party.
No, you're absolutely right, and there's been studies that prove it.
They are an entirely manufactured phenomenon, and so to jump off onto another metaphor. They made the golem, and the golem is now out of hand, and that's what golems do.
No, and I'm glad. You remembered the golem? Did I tell you that, or did you hear that on the show? I can't even remember.
Well, no. I mean, I've known about the golem for years.
Oh wow! Because I had started to call Trump the golem a while ago, but people told me that was too hard to. It was too nuanced, and then you'd have to explain it. So I stopped. But for a while, I was calling Trump the golem because he...
Well, it confuses some people because they think you're saying Gollum.
Oh, there, yeah.
And yeah. No.
But
G-O-L-E-M. It comes from what would you call it? Jewish mythology, non-Torah, rabbinical mythology. It comes from the Kabbalah.
Yeah, you know how I know this? X-Files. I'm not as bright as you, but I watch a lot. And there was a great
That's okay. I first learned about it in a Robert A. Heinlein book a million years ago.
Well, see, I'm a Reagan original Democrat, so I'm a picture guy. I'm not a book guy. But I think you're right that the Republican Party and Fox News, made this problem, and now they don't know
why. But you got to understand, for the authoritarians out there, it's not a problem. It's the way things ought to be. See, I'm old enough that I remember after Clinton left the White House and we got dim leader, Flush Flimball changed his intro to America the way it ought to be. Because the previous 8 years, his program had begun with America held hostage. You got to understand, it doesn't matter how bad it would get under a Trump presidency, Thomas. It's the way America's supposed to be. Because we're going to love us some flag.
Yeah. And
I realized by going off into my cornpone accent, maybe I take some of the starch out of it for some people in the country. But that's not the people who want Trump will be okay if people start getting hauled off to the FEMA camps. The people who want Trump will be okay if their next door neighbors disappear in the night, because that's the way the authoritarian mindset works, and the way a demagogue or a fascist what makes the good ones good at it is that they can read that out in amongst the lumpen proletariat.
And Trump knows how to do that, like a freaking expert. He's playing the country like a violin, you know, and the media is loving it because they're
well, Jesus, Joe Scar denounced him the other day, and son of a bitch, he's back on the program this morning.
Well, I'm convinced he's going to be in the cabinet or vice president or something. I'm convinced. Or he's going to announce a Senate run, and Trump is going to back him. I'm convinced there's a deal that's been made for this kind of goose-stepping from him. And I'm going to call it what it is. It's goose-stepping, because I saw that. He denounced him, and I was like, oh, my God, he did. And then the next day, today, he had him on, and he might as well have been, you know, down the drain with him. You know? And Mika is no better.
Mika is an abused spouse.
Okay, fair enough. And the other thing I want to thank you, Bob. I've given thanks to you. I've rolled back some of the slack I've given Melissa Harris Perry because of you. It's kind of like when you learn about somebody and how they are behind the scenes, that you change your position on how they might be. And
Look, you know, I thought Melissa Harris Perry went over a little over the top with the Star Trek stuff. Okay, she went way over the top, but I did experience her to be a gracious and genial host, and I was pleased that she wanted to actually know what was going on down here in Appalachia, because there's not a lot of people who do
or care. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Oh, and the other thing, Bob, I'm sorry to correct you because you're smarter than me, but it was Star Wars. I know both are in space, so it gets confusing, but Star Trek is
I'm just a different generation. I like Star Trek better than Star Wars. I like that universe better.
I do too, and that's where I want to get to, but I'm afraid we're gonna have to go through a World War III to get there. And that scares
me. Well, I mean, you know, the Star Trek universe went through the whole con thing with the super beings, and I mean, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It tasks me.
Oh, just, ooh, that shit. You just hit a little shit.
Oh, did I give you a little tangle?
Yeah,
you did. Do you have a Ricardo Montalban thing, Thomas?
No. Well, he was hot in that hole. Yeah, but stop. We don't need that conversation.
With the molded plastic chest and everything? I mean,
yeah. Right?
Waxed? I mean, the molded waxed plastic chest? I mean, yeah.
I can't help that I have a thing for black and Hispanic men. I'm a heathen. I'm going down when I die. It's okay.
Like a fire.
Yeah, like a fire. You know, I mean, I know where I'm going, and it's going to be burning, and I'm going to, you know, have to probably end up doing naughty things to Pat Robertson, and he'll be asking why a lot. So that's my penance.
Oh,
you know?
Pat!
I have
to. Oh, Marion. Marion?
But no, I just wanted to, those who like you so much, again, I'm sorry I'm preempting you, and, you know, I'm Melissa Harris parrying you.
Well, don't think that this isn't going to come up in fucking contract negotiations, boss. I mean,
you know, a boss hog it is. But yeah, no, I really appreciate our conversations that we have and that you have with others. And I didn't get the caller's name, but was.
Oh, Billy. That was Billy Bob Neck.
No. The caller yesterday who. Oh. Was worried to call in because he had a stuttering issue.
Oh,
I can't remember his name because I caught the tail end of that conversation, so I'm sorry for that. But for him, listen to my voice. Don't worry about it, honey.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, that was Flavio, I think.
Fine, listen to my voice and what I deal with. I've been called a lesbian and drunk at the same time by a Trump supporter.
So woo! Shout out for the drunk lesbians.
Yes. But I again wanted to thank you for letting me on, and the conversation will continue, even though not so much on FYI Nation.
Well, okay, so I got to ask, though, because yeah. these things roll around now. I mean, it's like the Brady Bunch on fucking Friday night now at these goddamn Republican debates. Pageants. I mean, that's what it is tonight, right?
Well, yes, I call it a dog bait, but because...
No, it's a pageant. It's a pageant. You know, Trump is a pageant. So, are they still going to let Kasich on?
I think he's going to be... can you attack me? He's gonna replace Dr. Benny Ambien Carson.
Okay, so it's we're down to four now. It's Kasich,
yes.
And Little Marco and Rafaelito. And Drumpf.
And the best part will be Mein Führer, the heir apparent, will be going up against Megyn Kelly. So this she'll be fun. You know, Little Miss Simon, I don't know where she's bleeding from. That'll be interesting.
Or wherever. Huh? Yes. The wherever.
The wherever. We're dirty minded.
The wherever. The Hulopian tubes. The. Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah. So I mean, but that's real. That's what's. I mean, at this point, so there was this thing, Thomas, where Payday Lending is great, Schultz. There was this thing where she didn't want anybody seeing any Democratic debates, so that's why they got scheduled on football playoff Sundays.
Yes,
You know, they didn't want to saturate the market. At this point, what's to be? I mean, do you have a take? I mean, what's to be served? At this point in time, isn't this just a desperate attempt to stop Trump?
No, this is to, in my mind, as a Bernie supporter, it's to cement and get new people who haven't seen him. There's going to be a debate in Flint. And Hillary's going to pander to, you know, the African-American vote, which she thinks she has locked up. And I believe that's disingenuous. As someone who has a black family and as someone who, his mother was very involved in the black community, I find that in what the media is doing as racist in the way that black people can't make up their own minds on a candidate and they're familiar. I have the opposite take of what every Hillary supporter does. I think it's to just suggest that it's locked. like Nina Turner can't make up her own mind, and you know Killer Mike can't make up their own mind.
That is a little bit desultory, isn't it?
You know, and it's insulting. And what have you done for me lately? I want Bernie to be able to make his case and to the African American community on why he is the guy, and he needs to be able to do that in a way that is not just social justice. And I guess we have listening interns. He took my advice on talking about his family, which I love. I tear up every time he talks about his father now. He needs to be able to talk about himself and get a little narcissistic. And I know that's not him, but he needs to, because people want to know about him. And they need to know what makes him who he is. And when he talked about spirituality, I was there.
You're kind of saying that he hides his light under a bushel. You know, I don't know. Maybe he needs to say, you know, look, you know, I marched. I was arrested. I was in the movement.
Yes. At the same time
that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton was a Goldwater girl, I was getting arrested for civil rights.
He doesn't even need to have to say that, because he won't attack her. And I love that about him. He doesn't have to say that. All he has to do is, I have the record and the votes to back it up. Where's yours? What have you done? They're with you on your husband's record, but you're telling me and everybody else how you're not running on that. Which is it? He needs to go and attack her without attacking her and make her explain herself.
Well, something I said earlier today.
Yeah.
And I stand by it. If, in fact, Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton is the presumptive nominee, which they're all desperately trying to tell us that she is, even though she's in roughly the same position she was in 2008, if she is, then the Hillary supporters out there need to draw their horns in. Because I've seen just about enough references to Bernie as senile, just about enough references to Bernie as an unrealistic dreamer, just about enough references to his policies being pipe dreams, and on and on and on and on and on and on, to make you know. And I did earlier today. I said, you know what? You might want some of you folks might want to start thinking before you start typing.
Bob, I got to be honest.
Because you need us.
We
don't need you.
Thank you.
You need us. Pucker up.
And not for nothing. I've stated this on my show. The most I will do to lift a finger for Hillary Clinton and until her supporters turn around and embrace us if she wins, and until we make up, kiss and make up sex, until that actually happens, you know what? The most I'm doing to help Hillary is if it's a baseless attack, like Benghazi and all that bullshit, I'll defend her. But beyond that, I'm not as nice as Tom Hartman. I know he's trying to play the middle field, and that's honorable. I'm not honorable. I'm an asshole. And I feel scorched earth, scorned by a lot of the Hillary supporters, including dear friends of mine.
Well, you ain't the onlyest one.
Who I thought had level heads, and fuck all, if I'm going to be there for you when you didn't give a shit enough to at least have a conversation about being there for me.
Ta-da!
You know, and we still got a long way to go before we wrap this up. So you might need
hence my phrase, pucker up.
Exactly. You know, and not for nothing, Bob. I want to for all our Bernie fans out there. She can't win any of those states if she is the nominee. All those states she won, except maybe Arkansas, and even that's questionable, she ain't winning when November 3rd.
She's not in November. She's not going to win Alabama. She's not going to win Tennessee. She's not going to win. Maybe Virginia. I think if she was the nominee, she would carry Virginia. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how real progressives, real liberals are going to feel about. There's probably a bunch of them that'll do what I'm going to do and go vote for her in places like Colorado and Minnesota. But she got thumped.
Yes.
I mean, she didn't lose a squeaker. And she couldn't close the she had a hard time closing the deal in Iowa, Nevada, and Massachusetts, and you know, bullhorns and poll closings.
And she's the progressive who gets things done. So why
only
can't
she isn't?
I know, but I'm being sarcastic. Why can't she close the deal? She's a deal maker. That's what she's trying to. She's trying to use Trump language. She can close the deal. She can get things done. Well, she can't sell herself. So how is she going to sell herself to a Republican who hates her if she can't sell herself?
I did feel good. I mean, I heard her that, you know, we don't need to make America great again. America's always been great. Okay, good part. But then that next line, and she and Bill have both trotted it out. And whoever they paid to be the focus group on this was apparently, you know, whacked out of their minds on OxyContin or something.
Right.
We've got to make America whole again. And, I mean, clang. I mean, that's you know, that's a saxophonist hitting a clam in the middle of a solo. It does not work.
Take that
one back to the focus group.
And Trump's already made fun of it. He's gonna
yeah,
put
what?
Her on.
Yeah, she wants to make America whole again. Hey, Hillary, I got you whole.
Yeah, I got you the state pen, and I'm not going to pardon you. Yeah, see what?
Yeah, we'll put you in the hole.
You know, I mean, it absolutely drives me insane, Bob. But I'm going to let other people call in because I've monopolized your time. But I want to again, Melissa Harris Perry, apologize for, you know, preemptively preempting you because I'm an asshole. Stop that.
You're fine.
And stealing, Rand Pauling some of your stuff because it's so good it needs to be passed around.
steal away. A little attribution once in a while is nice, but, you know, steal
yeah.
away.
But I love you, Bob, and I know a lot of my FYI Live and FYI Nation people do too, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Thomas. Have a good evening.
You too, my friend. Bye.
From FYINation.com, that's the preemptor-in-chief. That's Thomas. If you're listening at FYINation.com, I disappear at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I think. I don't know. So, yeah, thank you, Ron. Kasuch will be on. Lines open. Just had a lovely note. Bob, if I had $5,000, I would send it for that performance with Billy. Bob Neck was worth gold. It's a rare occasion that I can listen in live, but I think I hit the jackpot tonight. Wish to heck I could get Java to cooperate with my Mac and join in the chat room. Just love your show and try to listen whenever possible. Keep up the great work, Bob. David, yes, another one in Vermont. Well, that's why we have a fraternity of David. Thank you, David. Thank you very, very kindly. And I am proud to say, I'm very proud to say that we have only $50 to go in fundraising this evening. Isn't that cool? Yes. Thank you indeed, David. Thank you very, very much. So both lines are open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That's the stress line. Works well for some, not so well for others. Don't know why. Oh, but I did want to sort something out. When you call the program, and this, you know, this is a technology thing that radio people never had to deal with eons ago. When you call the program, don't try to use a Bluetooth device, okay? Don't try to use a Bluetooth device because they tend to sound like poopy, and for some reason or another, they don't like the gizmo box that we've got here. But let's run over to the stress line. Somewhere in the far frozen north of Minnesota. Hey, welcome to the program. Oh, wrong button. Sorry. Welcome to the program again.
Hello, Bob. This is Nick in Minnesota. I thought I'd try to give you a field report for what happened.
Please.
Did you hear the latest news? I heard why Hillary lost Minnesota.
No.
The governor says we should have a primary instead of a caucus now, because the only people that caucus are the you know, really active DFLers. And if it was just all the DFLers, all the Democrats, you know, voted, of course, Hillary would have won.
Match.
And that's why she lost.
Is there any truth to the assertion that that Keith Ellison did a better job of getting out the vote than Al Franken did?
I heard that there was massive there was definitely massive turnout in his district. There's no doubt about that. You know, but you know, I don't begrudge Franken or, you know, Dayton for, I mean, they're just, they just want to keep in line. They don't want to get their heads chopped off if Hillary becomes president. So they all have to keep in line, and it just kind of the way it is, I guess. But
Politics is politics, and it's a blood sport. And alliances are alliances. I mean, Al Franken has been in has been a Clintonian, going way back to, you know, the Clinton presidency. And you don't just change those overnight.
It does make me respect Ellison a lot, though, for not caring. He knows. I guess he knows in his district he doesn't have to worry about it anyway. And
oh, I suspect in his district there are, you know, there's a lot of reality staring him in the face. If you live in the reality of the 99%, actually the 99.9%, it's a lot different from a reality where your one daughter grows up, you send her to the best colleges, and then you get her a job at a hedge fund.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to pick on Chelsea.
If only my daughter could have done that, I'd feel a lot better about things. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I would sleep
a lot better at night if she was in that situation. I know that.
Right, and under Bernie's plans, more people have that chance, or just going to college, or not being saddled with a bajillion dollars of debt coming out of college. And what's wrong with that?
Yes, sir. I was surprised. I had never been to a caucus before, and I was surprised how laid back the Minnesota caucus was. My neighbors were telling me that that's the way it was, but I was really surprised. It's like, to me, there easily could have been voter fraud on that, because it's like the person that was supposed to run our precinct didn't show up. We were like in a high school room. It happened to be the French classroom, but you know, the slips for the preference vote were sitting there right on the teacher's desk, and people were signing in, and you know, it was actually my neighbor, since the person that wasn't there, that was supposed to be there, never showed up. And, you know, she's trying to hand out the preference slips and have people sign in. Well, the preference slips were just sitting there. So I guess it's like you were saying last night, it was Minnesota nice that nobody would expect that there would be any shenanigans, I guess. So that kind of surprised me. And another thing that surprised me was in my precinct, it was like 79. The vote came back. It was 79-69 for Bernie, and like 3 undecideds or whatever. And I was surprised in that room, sitting in that room for like, you know, 2 hours, going over like resolutions and stuff, that it was like almost everybody was united. As far you couldn't see any agitation between, you couldn't tell exactly who was the Hillary people and who were the Bernie people. A few of the Bernie people had T-shirts. Since it was my first one, I wasn't sure if I should, so I had my Bernie shirt underneath my sweatshirt so nobody knew that I was a Bernie guy. And we didn't really, you know, the conversation in that room didn't really revolve around that. It revolved around what resolutions we wanted.
I'm curious, Nick. What kind of, I mean, was yours an ethnically diverse caucus?
No, not really. Not really at all. I'm in the suburbs, and it was probably, I'd say, at least 90% white. At least 90% white.
Well, and what about turnout-wise? I mean, have you read any of the follow-up?
It was way more than ever expected, you know. Historically very high, historically extremely high, and I guess that's the way it was all over. I guess I don't know.
Have you seen any coverage or any write ups of how the vote broke down? How did men, how did women, young, old?
I didn't look at that. I'm sure the local papers have that. You could check that online. I did not look at that. I mean, I don't know, you know, if they had how much of the exit polling they had or how that worked.
Okay. I was just curious, but you feel confident in saying that that Minnesota has a strong progressive tradition and that was borne out.
Yeah, I do. But when I talked to you previously, I'm always worried about that since, like, you know, our neighbor to the east, Wisconsin, had that tradition too, and it only took one wacky governor and the Koch brothers to completely turn that state around, you know. So, they still have the new Glarus beer, but, you know, what happened to that state?
Yeah, well, true. For a minute there, I thought you were going to say New Glarus had crossed the border into Minnesota. What? I still swear that we're going to do a remake of Smokey and the Bandit. Only it's going to be me in a beat up Dodge Durango, driving hell bent for leather back from Wisconsin with 20 cases of New Glarus.
See, and that, in fact, in Minnesota, one bar just got busted for selling the stuff because they, you know, it's not legal to sell it. They don't have a license.
Well, right, and you know, unlike Coors, New Glarus is actually extraordinarily good beer. I mean, I can't tell you, Nick, what I would do for, you know, a case of for a case of Spotted Cow, and you know, that's their ordinary day to day beer. I mean, the beer hounds that go over to Secret Sandwich Society, if I walked in there with a case of ice-cold Spotted Cow, people would lose their minds.
Well, you know, I was thinking about you when we just got back from Florida and we drove down there, and I was thinking about, I was looking at a map and I was like saying, well,
no, we are so not
too far out of the way.
From Minnesota to Florida, we are not on the way.
I appreciate the kind thought. I could have gone through Cincinnati and then down and around, but
I mean, next time you do that, if you got eight cases of New Glarus tucked away, I'll drive 8 hours to meet you.
We do go through Western Kentucky and to Nashville and down that way. So.
Well, you know, Nash Vegas is about 7 hours from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to talk. We'll have to talk about this. My curiosity is piqued, Nick. Well, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
All right, and tell Boss Man Wayne that the check will really be in the mail this time. So.
All right. All right. Thanks,
so
Nick.
He'll have to put his rubber gloves on.
All right. Will do. Thanks so much.
Right,
and have a
Bob.
Great evening. Stay
right,
warm, and I hope spring. I hope spring gets there soon. Nick calling from Minnesota. And both, like I said, both lines are open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-4676. We just crossed the halfway point of the program. We got about $50 to do in fundraising this evening. And we also just passed ibuprofen time. I could tell because the sweat had broken out on my forehead. That refreshing burst of flavor. Look, speaking of the far frozen north, my goodness gracious, it's Ron.
Well, hello, Bob.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing just fine.
You know, it was a little weird here today. We had a kind of a nippy little gray kind of West Virginia morning, and then I looked outside, and there were two inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah, we call that a skiff up here, but I understand.
Yeah, right. It's kind of the opposite of the shut it, Sparky phenomenon.
Yeah, I was talking to Kelly, and she was saying they've got about 4 inches, and she's thinking about heading down to North Carolina in the morning. So, she's got a Subaru.
Well, I was about to say she can go anywhere she wants in a Subaru.
Yep.
Because those things, I mean, those things are real. That I've got a lot of respect for those automobiles.
As you said, one for years.
Yeah, what's she got? What model?
I think she's got an Outback now.
Okay.
She had an Impreza, but apparently way up the top of the mountain where she's living, when the snow got more than 6 or 7 inches deep, it tended to bottom out on her. So.
Yeah, the Impreza's only got about 4 inches of ground clearance. I think the Outback's got about 8.
Well, all I know is she's happy with what she's got. So, but what I wanted to ask you was, I've been having paroxysms of laughter at the Republican circus that's going on. This is amazing to me. I mean, I continue to expect the outrageous. And my expectations are always surpassed.
Without a doubt, it has become, bedlam, as in Shakespeare's use of it. It's become a madhouse.
I think I said about 6 months ago that they were going to circle the wagons and fire inward, and I was looking forward to the entertainment. But this just gets better and better and better.
Well, I'm hoping I feel good enough to. I hate to admit it. I'm hoping I feel good enough to sit and watch the pageant this evening.
What time does it start?
I don't know. I get preempted at 8:30 p.m. I'm guessing it's a 9 o'clock start.
Who has the power to preempt Bob?
I'm getting preempted over on FYINation.com.
Oh, okay.
There won't be any preemption here.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, the only thing that'll preempt me here is, the same thing that preempted me Tuesday. Just want to get through the program.
But I was saying to a very astute lady from Missouri recently, we were talking about how
doesn't live out nearby the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club Trailer Park and Mobile Home Community, does she?
I think she can see it from there.
Right. Okay. Being sure. But
Bernie getting bashed, didn't have a job until he was 40, things like that. And I'm going, okay, Hillary, first of all, her first real job as such was as the wife of the governor, which gets you some perks. You could get out of town while your husband's having an affair. Then she was wife of a president. Then she was a senator. Then she was Secretary of State. What the hell has she done that?
Well, now. You're being a little unfair. Back when Bill was rising into power in Arkansas politics, She worked at the Rose Law Firm as a corporate lawyer, and she sat on the board of directors of Walmart, everybody's favorite labor-friendly giant corporation.
True. Yeah. Okay, mea culpa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to diss her. So she had a real job.
Why do you hate women?
I don't know. It's probably an allergic reaction to growing up surrounded by strong, powerful women.
And so it's just backlash. Right. I got it. Yeah. It's like you can slurp raw oysters all your life, and then you get that one, and you turn green, and your throat swells up, and it, right. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're gay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I did enjoy the first hour of the show.
Well, thank you.
I tuned in 15 or 20 minutes late,
mm-hmm.
and I had this whole WTF moment going on. And I'm just wondering what the aliens would think if that's a part of the broadcast that they pick up.
You have no idea how many times I think about what we've sent out into space. But I mean, but have we in fact sent it out into space? You're the internet genius.
Say what?
I said internet genius.
I'm a country boy, Bob.
Absolutely, soft soaping, sandbagging country boy. But does internet stuff go into space?
Nope. The only thing that goes into space are things that are transmitted by terrestrial radio waves, RF frequencies.
So microwave stuff, satellite stuff?
Microwave is point-to-point. Satellite tends to be point-to-point going from ground up to the satellite and point-to-multipoint coming down. There may be a little leakage, but usually the beams are pretty tightly focused.
Okay, so if the Arkelian battle cruiser from Norblap 12 shows up in parking orbit around the planet, it will not be my fault.
No, those dudes are going to be getting AM ring radio.
Now do you reckon the Klaatu Barada Nikto's been turned off for Rush Limbaugh? I mean, I really would like to. Never mind. But you know where I was going.
Kind of interesting if you think of Rush and Glenn Beck, etc., as being ambassadors of the species to interstellar beings.
Rectal probe.
Oh, no. I mean, they would move us straight on to, okay, if we're putting a interstellar throughway through here, that place is in the way and nobody's going to miss it.
I take it you're well versed in the work of Douglas Adams.
Yeah, I used to be. Yeah,
I
would
Guide.
Also mention something that I've discovered helps more with a cold than standard bourbon.
Yes,
Havana Club 7-Year Reserve.
I'll bet it does.
Ooh, it soothes the throat. It just sort of lubricates everything. It doesn't help my mental processes, but it certainly makes me feel better.
Or feel less.
Different is sometimes better. But,
Yeah, I've been trying to remember. It's feed a starva fever cold thing.
Too much thinking, Bob.
I know. So I went down to Tudor's. And I got me a big cup of that chili that's going to have to go away because Obama hates Tudor's chili. And I was over at the Kroger's, and I found a bottle. Where is it, damn it? Oh. I've gotten real fond of the Kroger's private selection label. A lot of good stuff there. And I was over there, and I found Kroger Private Selection Peruvian Aji Amarillo Culinary Hot Sauce. Yellow and Aji Amarillo chili peppers. I thought Amarillo was yellow. Well, it's just West Virginians, right? Yellow and Aji Amarillo chili peppers, passion fruit, and fragrant spices. And I mean, I blistered that Tudor's chili with it.
And?
Well, it's why I had the sinuses with which to do the program this evening.
Ah!
there will be, and this is a colloquial term, hell to pay later.
Do we have an official horn chant along the lines of "Come on, ice cream"?
It'd be nice. It'd be nice, but I tried that sugar-free stuff, Ron.
Yeah.
It sucketh. Yea, verily, it sucketh mightily.
Well, there's a biblical passage somewhere that mentions sucketh, and something about how the first temple at Jerusalem, the bronze pillars that stood outside were cast on the plains of Succoth, and I can't remember the other part of the line.
But they were cast on the plains of Succoth, and yea, verily, they diddeth. Right. I got a note here. It says, did Ron get through the border successfully with his box of cigars? I'm asking for a friend.
Not yet. Go away.
Not yet. Okay.
Don't need the attention.
Right. Ixnay on the Igars say. A say nothing nay about the umre.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Agent Fred just fired up the Uniblab 1,000,000 to get that translated.
Yeah, well, good luck, Fred. I should note, I got up this morning. It was about 3 below Fahrenheit. Not bad. Wandered into the backyard to check the bird feeder, where all the cardinals come. I have 8 to 12 cardinals, depending on the morning. And I measured the snow in the backyard.
And?
My snow base is 23 inches.
Good God. That's like swearing on the program.
The roads are absolutely clear.
Well, of course, it's Canada, right?
We haven't had snow for 48 hours, roughly. And they've cleared the roads, and they're now bringing the snow blowers and the dump trucks, and they're clearing off the berms that they've been building with the snow plows and clearing streets. They put these little red signs up on wooden stakes that can go through the augers of the blowers. It says, we will be clearing this tonight. No parking. If you park your car, they tow it. $200. And they show up with big graders. They push the snow that's 5 feet high on each side of the road into the middle of the road. And then convoys of double tandem dump trucks come down the street. And there's a great big blower that could throw boulders 50 feet. Comes along, fires all this stuff into the tandem dumps, and they haul it away. It's beautiful to watch. It's a ballet.
Oh, I bet it truly is. So if that's what you've got, what do you figure our buddy Chris up in the Northwest Territories has?
I suspect he probably has less snow.
Really?
Yeah, he may have much colder temperatures, but it's so cold, cold air doesn't hold nearly as much moisture.
I can remember the southern folks down in Alabama saying, nope, it's too cold to snow. It never dawned on them it was too south to snow.
Well, our big snowfalls tend to come when it's between 10 and 30 degrees.
Yeah.
If it gets below that, 2-3 inches, a skiff.
Skiff, yeah. So, I mean, you talk about that snow removal there where you are. Did your Canadian buddies a couple of winters back look at Boston when they were getting just crippled by snow and say, America, hell yeah?
Oh, absolutely not. What they did was from Nova Scotia and Quebec sent a ton of snow removal equipment down there to help out, specialized stuff. And like in Ottawa, we've got almost 800 pieces of dedicated snow removal equipment.
and you spend and you, and they spend the good weather months making sure that it's in top-notch working condition.
Yeah, but our snow removal budget in Ottawa is $55 million a year.
Whoa. And yeah. Somehow people still get to go to the doctor.
They do. It's amazing.
So, tell me, what... apparently, Justin Trudeau did a takedown of Trump.
Haven't heard that.
I forget who... somebody put me onto that the other day. And it was kind of beautiful. And it,
well,
it
enlightened me.
Well, I don't have it to hand right at the minute. But I was just sitting. Why can't we do that? Is it because he's not in Merca?
It's good Canadian prudence. Like, you'd never take a leak under a helicopter. It's, we have no idea.
Well, writing that one down.
We have no idea who the next president's going to be. But just on the off chance, A, it's Trump, we've got at least 4 years where coexistence is required. And his, Justin's daddy described it best when he said that governing in Canada next to the U.S. is, one must always remember that it's like a mouse sleeping with an elephant. So, you know, we're the single biggest trade partner for the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, you start pissing people off, it comes back and directly affects you. Look, Keystone is one that was poorly handled. Because the last guys would screw up a wet dream. But Trudeau's not going to go out of his way to upset anybody, but he's probably very good at the Canadian pastime of absolutely insulting you without saying anything overt that you can point at as an insult.
Right, and making you feel good about it.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Jimmy Kimmel and Trump.
I was gonna go exactly there. Sat there and read a children's book he'd written about Trump to Trump. That was a total mockery of Trump, and the fool sat there and smirked.
Yep.
Because he didn't realize he was being had.
Well, he probably does now, but after somebody explained it to him.
Yep.
Anyway, we're
off
watching.
To the FEMA camp with Jimmy Kimmel.
By the way, I've had several direct contacts about citizenship.
Oh, have you?
I have. And with a couple of exceptions, I've simply referred everyone to the Immigration Canada website because. Remember,
you mean the one that got crashed?
Yeah. But I think if you remember on a previous call, I mentioned the Canadian mantra of peace, order, and good government.
Right.
Jesus wanted to immigrate to Canada. It would take 6 months.
That pragmatism, right?
Yeah. But not to cast too dark a note on it, we now have... By the end of February, we did effectively bring into Canada 25,000 Syrian refugee families. 25,000, including all the family members.
And oddly enough, the bombs haven't just started going off all over.
No. And we have found jobs for many of them. And many of them already have accommodation. Their kids are in school. Local volunteer groups and groups working with the government are acting as sort of their, I don't know how you would call it, but groups that are designed to make their introduction into Canadian society fairly painless, greasing the skids, showing them all the paperwork you need to get the kids in school, getting the kids the vaccinations they need to have in order to get into school. It's all working out very smoothly. There hasn't been a single riot or terrorism incident since they arrived.
And probably won't be. Oh, a little news from home for you, Ron.
Oh, okay.
File this under even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. You know that the teabaggers in the West Virginia House had put forward one of those religious hate bills.
Yep.
And you know it sailed right through the House.
Oh, absolutely it did. Yep.
And it was all set to sail right through the Senate.
Praise Jesus.
And then all of a sudden somebody sort of turned the Republican teabaggers onto the fact that that bill would let anybody discriminate against anybody. You know, that would let people discriminate against Christians. You know, we don't, Christian, we don't serve your kind here. And lo and behold, it died. It died.
And did I read that the governor vetoed the permitless concealed carry bill?
I believe you did. Won't much matter. There's two more weeks, or almost two more weeks. There's 11 more days of legislating.
And they've got the numbers?
Numbers schmumbers. It only takes a bare majority to override a gubernatorial veto in West Virginia.
Say what? Okay, it's been a long time since I.
If it is not budget related, if it's okay. Not part of a budget bill, it takes only a bare majority to override a gubernatorial veto.
And there's no democratic procedural Svengalis that could find some way to hang this up?
No. I mean, that's what happened with right to work. Governor vetoed it. They went, screw you.
So what about Morrissey and his Mercury bill?
Like I said, I hope that didn't not cause him to have a stroke. Because, well, I mean, I'm always a little bit behind the curve trying to follow the Obama administration because they do play 11D-dimensional chess. And this is one of those times, you know, that and what you're talking about so people can know.
Yeah.
The EPA's Mercury rule, at the request of some 20 different attorneys general, went up to the Supreme Court, and they were looking for another injunction against its implementation pending full litigation, just like with the Clean Power Plan.
Yeah, this is the bill that basically said they had to cut back on the amount of mercury, limit the amount of mercury that was being expended and how it was measured and all of that.
Yeah.
From coal-powered plants.
And yeah. See, the thing is, with the Clean Power Plan, there were 9 justices, one of which included fat, now-dead Tony Scalia. And so they got their injunction on that. This one went up, and it's 8-8, and John Roberts says, sorry, boys. Now, if there had been a 9th justice there, I imagine that injunction would have been granted.
What do we think Kennedy's going to do on the Texas abortion bill?
Oh, they're not going to do diddly. I mean, that thing got argued, and well, okay, so back up a minute. There's a significant right wing outcry for zombie fat dead Tony Scalia to have his vote counted. In the cases that were heard where he actually voted before he became dead.
No, that's not the way it works.
Actually, it does. It can't. I mean, the Supreme Court can do whatever it wants because nobody oversees the Supreme Court. Except arguably Congress. And, you know, Congress wouldn't say boo about that. That's why right-wingers are calling for the vote of zombie Scalia to be counted. But this case, and what you're talking about, is the case that was argued a couple of days ago in front of the Supreme Court. the Texas case whereby they instituted a lot of really, really brutally tough rules for women's reproductive health services to have to live under. It got appealed, and it wound its way up to the Supreme Court, and it was argued, and if it come and Zombie Scalia wasn't there because he was already dead, and so it was argued before a 4-4 court.
Yep.
Now here's how it could break.
And the women folks didn't sort of go along with the chief.
The women folks didn't like it worth a damn. Because it's stupid. It requires an office that would simply write a prescription for Plan B. The doctor has to have admitting privileges at the hospital, and they have to have a full, basically outpatient surgery center. Stupid. And
which I think the women pointed out.
Yes, they did. Very effectively so. So if it ends up 4-4, nothing happens. It goes back. And I'm not sure. If it ends up 4-4, the appeals court ruling stands. But it does not form precedent.
No.
If, on the other hand, that Kennedy kid, Fat Dad Tony's no longer there to berate and bully him, and he likes being the important swing vote guy.
Yeah,
it could wind up being a 5-3 vote. Although, I would not run out to Harris and Reno and place that bet.
No.
Not by a long shot. That may be part of the 11-dimensional chess thing. But Dr. Bill was opining the other day, Ron, about the whole Senate refusing to. And yeah, maybe I'm just crazy, but I don't trust those weird little bastards in the Congress. And the minute that Barack Obama says I'm not going to nominate anyone. Well, if you were Louis Gohmert, wouldn't you try to get Daryl Issa's ear or somebody's, and institute impeachment proceedings immediately?
Oh, absolutely! I mean, because he's violating the Constitution.
It is a mandatory duty upon the president. I mean, it's not, you know, if it's a day that doesn't have an R in it, or if he feels like it. It's the president shall nominate. And you know, maybe your more reasonable Republicans, if there are any of them left, would say something like, well, you know, that could be bad for the election in November. The Gohmerts and the Steve Cantaloupe Kings and the Mo Brookses and that strange, strange woman from Montgomery whose name I can't remember, and the waxen Trey Gowdies, they don't give a shit about the November elections. They want to get that one out of our White House.
Well, I hold the opinion that Obama's going to wait until the next major round of primaries, especially the ones involving Republicans. And when it's down to one or two and everybody starts figuring their campaign strategies out going forward into the conventions, then he's going to spring something. I think he's got at least two, three.
I got one for you. I got one for you, Ron.
Well, give me one.
You want some 11-dimensional chess? You do know that Trump's sister sits on the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, don't you?
No.
She really does.
This is why I tune in, because I learn something every night.
She does. She's a judge, a real live, honest-to-Jesus judge. Now, what would happen if, because he's already floated the trial balloon of nominating a Republican governor. And yeah. Brian Sandoval of Nevada said, Nah, you know, I don't want to have a terrible car accident on a remote Nevada highway. But what if? Because I thought about this earlier, and I just went, "Oh, that would be fucking brilliant, wouldn't it?" What if he nominated Trump's sister? Now, that's a long silence there, Ron, and you're not known for those.
I was just thinking about the possibilities of, in fact, you nominate the sister of a guy that the Republican Congress and Senate hate.
Well, some do, some don't.
Yeah, but I can't see Trump having a major backing in the Senate right now. Can't see it.
Marianne Trump Barry is a senior United States Circuit Judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, so she's not doing much. She was born 1937. She's older.
She's got one. She's older than me.
She's got one kid. Why the hell not?
37. That would make her what? 77 now?
Wait, no, that 37, that'd make her what? 79, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
She will be 79 on the 5th day of April, which I think is the day of the Wisconsin primary. But tell me that wouldn't be delightful.
She gave
her life to the law. As compared to some other justices, she's a spring chicken.
How old's Ginsburg now?
83, 84, maybe.
Well,
but that would be delicious, wouldn't it?
It would. I don't know if it would be smart, but it would be delicious.
Well, no, the reason I even thought about it was because I think during one of the previous pageants, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz had a conniption about Trump's sister because she said something nice about women's reproductive organs in an opinion one time.
Ooh.
But see, I think he's got to nominate somebody. And
quickly.
Well, no, because he's got to make the Senate eat it. Now, is he waiting until maybe you're right. Maybe he's waiting till after the primaries. Maybe he's waiting till after the conventions, and then he's going to make his nomination, and it'll be a rallying call for the Democratic nominee, and it'll be a way to make the at-risk Republican senators suffer because it'll be too late for the Senate to do anything.
Well, sorry, I just had to enter the door there. Can he actually stage this so that the Senate cannot really do anything about his nomination?
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, the Senate sets its own schedule, and the Republicans are not known for wanting to work. I mean, he missed an excellent opportunity for a recess appointment, which would have just had, you know, Limbaugh probably would have had a baby. Because they're, you know, precedent. Eisenhower did a recess appointment of William Brennan in an election year.
Yep.
Reagan, you know, appointed Kennedy in November, and he was confirmed in April of 1988, an election year. But, you know, none of that, that those don't count. But so I suspect that having that sensing that they have gotten a that they sort of dodged that bullet, the Senate will never go into actual formal recess between now and the election, because that's the basis of the NLRB case. You might recall that the National Labor Relations Board was down a member or two, and the Senate went through that stratagem of they would go into recess, but not really, because they'd have some backbencher come in every morning and say, Senate's in session, bang, Senate's out of session, bang. And so to create the test case for it, President Obama made the appointments, the Republicans sued, and the Supreme Court said, nope. I mean, and it was a 7-3 decision, so it wasn't like one of those typical 5-4s. I mean, the rules is the rules. And they weren't really in recess. I mean, this is one of those where you just kind of go, Robert's Rules of Order, nap, can't do it, goodbye. So as long as they're gaveling in every morning, he can't do it. Can't do it. He cannot do a recess appointment. Now, if they're dumb enough to go into full actual recess, he could. And suddenly you'd have, and they couldn't do anything about it. And the smart money would be to, you know, appoint, you know, Joe Biden or something. Somebody that you know would go in there, vote the right way until January 20th, 2017, and, you know, hang up the robe and go to Bermuda.
Yeah, but to use your analogy of 11-dimensional chess, there's got to be a lot of serious thinking going on about, okay, how can we manage putting a really good candidate forward that almost everyone would agree with, and if they've agreed with them in the past, that would be useful as well, and paint all those senators that that are up for re-election in the worst possible light. I mean, if you've got the opportunity to use a Supreme Court appointment to accomplish another political objective at the same time, why wouldn't you do it that way?
Well, maybe you would.
Like, I'm not in office, so I don't have to worry about this stuff, but I'm just looking at it and going, well, hell, if you got the opportunity to make Turtle look even worse than he does right now, why wouldn't you do it?
Oh, sorry about the audio there. Go away. Stop it. Sorry. Fucking CNN and their auto-run audio. Stand by a minute. Jesus, the sneezing.
I thought it was... Maybe I mentioned Turtle.
Well, I'm allergic. The CNN is reporting, and Sparky just sent this to me, that the White House is considering Jane Kelly, and she serves on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 8th Circuit. And the FBI has been interviewing people who are associated with her. And both her office and the White House declined comment. But the problem here, Ron, is that if the Senate's going to dig its heels in, let's understand that U.S. federal judges, be they district court judges or appeals court judges, they are, you know, they're not a bunch of self-effacing Gandhis.
No, not really.
You generally have a pretty whopping ego by the time that you're writing opinions that get written up in Westlaw. And so somebody would have to be willing to be a stalking horse for this Republican obstructionism.
Yep.
And so if the New York Times is right and the FBI, you know, the FBI is not going to go to the trouble of running security on somebody who said, you know, I don't want it. Why would you do that?
Yeah, but the FBI have probably already done at least 10, if not more, vettings over the last couple of years, getting ready for just this opportunity.
Yeah,
adding one more name to the list.
I don't know. Not necessarily, because see, there's one little factor here. It's the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. She is from Iowa, as Sparky points out. Who is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Castration lady?
No, Chuck Grassley.
Oh.
And he has already glowingly approved her.
Ooh.
In April 2013, she was confirmed to her present seat 96-0.
That would make Turtle look bad, wouldn't it?
It would make Turtle and Grassley look terrible. And here's a fun fact. Grassley is up for re-election this year in November.
11D-dimensional, Bob.
Absolutely. I can't keep up with the Vulcans. I mean, you know, I'm a mere human. So, you know.
Okay. I have, first of all, taken up more than enough of your time. I made a pledge to myself, by God, the next time you call in earlier. I did. And I've used it all up, Bob. I got nothing else to throw out.
Well, you've done a lovely job of it, and you have not used up any time. The time here is free for the taking and free for the asking.
But I don't like running up against at 9 o'clock and need to make the fundraising appeals. I will simply say to everybody listening, I try to contribute as much as I can,
and
do it frequently. And I just encourage everybody else, give what you can. If you got nothing to give, listen.
And tell your friends and neighbors.
Especially your friends and neighbors that have money.
and don't tell,
to put too fine a point on it.
But don't tell any conservatives or Republicans, because I really don't want to have to start hanging up on people.
Why? Well, that's a personal thing, Bob.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of people in the Horn Family Community Commune who want a congregation who want to hear me fight with a right winger.
Yeah, but I mean, tonight, first hour was a great warm up.
That was like cheating.
I understand, but it certainly gave you the chops to do the Jimmy Fallon approach to Jimmy Kimmel approach to dealing with idiots. I mean, you would do well with these people. Hang them out to dry. People would pay for the privilege to listen to you eviscerate a right-wing asshole.
Oh, dear God. We could be huge.
But I want you to think about it before you take that advice, simply because it might make you put your gut in turmoil, and we don't need that right now.
My liver's already quivering.
That's the hot sauce.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself, Ron.
Well, you all have a good night. Go forth and make some money, son.
All right. Take care. Take care, Ron. Have a good evening. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye now. The inimitable Ron from the far frozen north. And thank you very kindly, by the way. This just came in while I was talking. Thank you very kindly to Janie in Texas. Thank you very, very much. We are over the hump for fundraising this evening. And that means we'll go into tomorrow with considerably less to worry about than we did last Friday. That's a fact. James tells me the new Senate is seated January 3rd. Imagine what could be rushed through. Oh, yeah. And Carol Baker tells me that Chuck Grassley's untouchable. I've heard that there's a challenger out there who might be able to make some hay out of this sort of thing. Let's run over and talk to Jim in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, what's up, Bob?
You have been very patient, sir.
It's one of the few virtues I possess periodically. Say, talk to you on a good night. Well, I did vote early. I early voted in the Louisiana primary. Yeah, I was next week. Yeah.
Yeah, and have you been to any meetings, any rallies, or anything? Do you have any sense?
No. It doesn't look good. It looks like the rest of the South. In fact, that's one of the reasons that Cockney did such a great analogy last night of how the so-called Hillary majority is losing. I think. I mean, it could be very. I mean, just like I think you pointed out, or somebody pointed out. Colorado didn't do a rat's ass. I don't see why any other states seem to like to do that. I mean, certain areas like to stick together, but like you pointed out, the southern states think they're the bee's knees, but the rest of the country's like, fuck you,
Well, I don't want to take anything away from southern progressives, like I said, because it ain't easy being progressive in the South. It's kind of like being a dissident in the Soviet Union.
Right, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying as far as the states, if the southern states think the rest of the union gives a rat's ass about what they think, they're crazy. You see what I'm saying?
There's a dynamic at work here that I think the Democratic Party really should try to address, and it's a delicate one. Say, for instance, instead of having New Hampshire and Iowa be the first to vote in the primary system, let's say it was California and Florida. Well, you could make an argument that then everybody could just go home, and everybody'd get disenfranchised by that. But the thing is, why do Democratic states that aren't Alabama or South Carolina that never vote for a Democratic president? Why do they get pride of place? Why should the Democratic Party let non-democratic states decide who the nominee is going to be? I mean, that's counterproductive.
My sentiments exactly. Like you said, I mean,
let's mix in a couple of normal states along the way, or maybe even a battleground state. What do you say we let's throw Ohio into February? Maybe before South Carolina, or possibly, Pennsylvania.
Well, the thing I'm pretty sure I saw this on Twitter or something, but it's about how, believe it or not, how the state got their order. And you have your friend and mine, the former president, Slick Willie. Clinton basically devised the new strategy of all these southern states going first to give them more power. Does that sound right? I mean,
Is Super Tuesday a creation of the Clinton era Democratic Party? I off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Then I'm going to stand by that because I know I read that. And that question was on Twitter, so. But it's a source I trust. So,
I do have the interweb tubes here.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm clarifying.
Let's have a look. No, the history, the phrase Super Tuesday first emerged, this is according to National Petroleum Radio, the phrase Super Tuesday first emerged in 1980 when three southern states, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, held their primaries on the same day. That's 1980.
Right.
By 1988, it was Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Kentucky, Alabama, and Georgia on Tuesday, March 8th. And then 1992 to 2000, it's the Super Tuesday that we pretty much come to know.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I know I saw that, but like you say, it might be kind of geeky, whatever, chin garbage out. But, no, because the logic behind it made sense, because Clinton wanted to make the South more powerful than it is.
Well, they wanted to make they wanted to make the South a relevant force. They wanted to make the South somewhere that candidates would come and campaign.
Right.
But what it wound up doing is giving states, it's great for the Republicans. You know what? It's natural for the Republicans to let Southerners choose, let Southern Republicans choose their nominee. But as much as I respect and like and am a Southern progressive, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what if West Virginia got to put live or die on some presidential candidate's campaign? That would be, and I'm looking for, I want to use just the right word here. Oh yeah, stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm a West Virginian, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it would be fun, because nobody ever does. It would be fun to actually have presidential candidates have to come here and watch them for, 4 weeks pretending that they actually gave a shit about Appalachia. You know, like they go to Iowa and pretend they give a shit about Iowa. When we all know that, the real money is your Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, California, Texas, that's where it is. It would be fun to see him come here. Boy, I tell you, y'all used to have some real pretty mountains here, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but like Hillary's going to build them back up. That's one of the things. That's
yeah, it's just like Jennifer in Australia says, with raffia and a hot glue gun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going my same strategy. I'm hoping so. I think the Clinton campaign's overestimating their power. I'm hoping somehow a Bernie miracle can happen, because it's weird. I mean, I'll get kind of down, then I'll get kind of thinking like really great thoughts. Man, it'd be so great to have a president, a Democratic Socialist president for 8 years. You think, well, man, because one of the things he's talked about is increasing the amount of people get for Social Security and stuff, and by 8 years I'll be 65 or 64 in 8 years. So that's freaky,
Well, so one thing Bernie badly needs, and it's not really worth the effort, but he needs it badly. He needs to go in and shock Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton in a southern state. I would suggest that Louisiana would be the place to do that.
All right, well, I've got, let's see, today is Wednesday. I've got 3 days. I'll see what kind of Jimmy coup I can pull. I shouldn't even say the word coup. What kind of surprise, what Jimmy surprise I can pull.
I know Mardi Gras is over and everything, but can you just imagine Bernie down there with a roaring crowd, say, the gym at LSU or whatever, laissez les bon temps rouler.
Bernie's a great campaigner too, and that's something.
He's a hell of a lot better campaigner than Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. And again, I offer that up, Jim, not because I hate her, but because I've been observing politics for a really long time. She is not good at it.
There
are people who were, and there are people who weren't. I mean, John Kerry. I just came here to West Virginia to tell you, Montani semper liberi, and I really care about West Virginia. Terrible campaigner. great senator from Massachusetts, has proven himself to be an adequate Secretary of State for the Empire and a far better Secretary of State than Hillary was. But a terrible campaigner. Bernie's a great campaigner. I mean, Bill was an excellent because regardless of whatever else you say about Bill, I think it's probably an interweaving of character stuff. The same thing that made Republicans hate him, and the same thing that makes him a serial philanderer, is the same thing that makes him a great campaigner. He likes people. He likes to do that stuff. Hey, how you doing? Hey, look at yeah. And he does that thing where he puts like one hand on somebody's shoulder, and I've been in the same room with him. The guy has. Did you ever see a photograph of Johnny Bench's hands? You know, the great Hall of Fame Cincinnati Reds catcher.
Right. I remember Johnny Bench.
His hand is big enough to cover two people's face. And Clinton has those kind of hands. I mean, they're huge. I mean, it's like when you go to what is it, the Uffizi, in Florence. And if you look at at Michelangelo's David down this long hall, everything's proportionate. But when you walk right up to it, the hands of the David are they're gargantuan. And he's like that. I mean, he's a big, imposing presence. And you just go, well, hell, I think I need to vote for him. And I mean, he talks, and then you start talking like him. That ain't Hillary. Hillary's gonna stand up there and give you every percentage point of her economic 97-point plan. She's a totally different person. She's an excellent bureaucrat, but she doesn't love people. And the best
I think she doesn't like them personally. You know, I mean,
well, that shitty exchange she had with the young black woman in Minnesota. Well, why don't you run for something, dear?
Yeah, it almost reeks of wicked witch of the.
Yeah, and I don't. South, and, yeah, right. And I don't want to go there.
I don't either. But I mean,
she's not a people person. She doesn't right. like. She doesn't much like the day-to-day business of having to get out there and rub shoulders, you know, with the proles. Because she spent her entire life trying to not have to do that.
Boy, that's like almost the goddess of irony, Delter.
Remember when Michael Jordan retired from basketball and decided to go play baseball?
Yeah, for what, half a season or something?
Well, I mean, he played in Birmingham and Huntsville.
Right.
Because, I'm the awesomest basketball player in the world. I'm sure I'll be the awesomest baseball player in the world.
Right.
Only he wasn't. But he damn sure tried. Well, I see Hillary kind of in that light. She's so smart, she's so brilliant. She should be president. I mean, people have been telling her that since they were pulling her aside at cocktail parties in Arkansas, saying, "Well, ma'am, I mean, you know, your husband's governor and attorney general, whatever. But it's pretty obvious to us you're the smart one. You should be in that office." Yes, I should.
Well, see, to me, right away, when she was running, and when I voted for her, and I did vote for her in the caucus in Nevada way back in 08, because I was torn between her and Obama, and I just figured I just ended up going with her. But the thing I didn't like was, I'm thinking, we just got finished with the Bush dynasty crap. You know, his father and then him. And this Clinton thing, I mean, I'm not the only person to see it, but it seems to me that's glaring. That's going back to your Roman family dynasty crap, you know, that we've talked about periodically, right? I mean, that's what I see, and I don't think that's...
Well, but you know what? I mean, I don't... There were a lot of hearts broken when Robert Kennedy got killed in 1968.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't think a lot of people would have said dynasty if he had gone on to become the president of the United States.
I was going to point that out because I remember the night that happened, and I remember my dad was going somewhere. This is going to shock you, but my dad saying, because my mother, he was wearing a suit because he was going to somewhere. And my mother said to him, because it's California primary, that it was that Saturday, and she goes, Jim, do you think Bobby will win? And he just, at the top of the steps, and I'm like 6 feet away, he says to her, my mother, he goes, well, if he wins, they're going to kill him. And, I mean, that even shocked him, because later, when I got up the next day, God, I was like, he couldn't believe that they killed Bobby Kennedy. And he was impressed with the way, and you know what I mean when I say they.
Yeah.
They killed him that quick, and that shocked him or surprised him to a great deal. I don't know. I still hope somehow. I'm not giving up on Bernie, you know. But and it's like you were saying the other night. But they do want to seem to drive that home. They do want to seem to that it's over for Bernie. It was a good run, and kudos for Bernie, but this belongs to Hillary. It's her turn. And the more I hear that, it makes me want to vote, you know, Stein. Joe Stein. You know, like I plan on doing.
I'm trying to be a big boy about it and not letting and not let her obnoxious supporters influence my decision.
Me too, but it's hard, man.
And it's not going to get any easier. And you know, my only response is if she locks up the nomination in a month or so, just look out to them and go pucker up. Y'all got some serious ass kissing to do.
That's one way to look at it.
Because the young people who came out for Bernie are going to have to be persuaded to come out for Hillary. Because they just don't like her, and secondarily, being younger voters, they don't have. I don't want it to sound all get off my lawn or anything. But they don't have a long tradition of going to the polls no matter what.
Exactly. Plus, I mean, you and I are about almost. I'm a couple of years older than you, but you and I, we've seen more days than we're going to see. And life can be, when you're younger, you think you got forever, and you're a lot more optimistic and less pragmatic. And sometimes there's virtue to pragmatism, I guess. I don't know if somebody else said it, but it sounds like something that should be on a plaque.
Well, from where I am, my attitude toward voting, Jim, was shaped by my parents, who were, you know, the World War II generation. And they said, I don't care where you are or what you're doing, every opportunity you have to go and vote, you must vote. If it's a bond issue, go vote. If it's a school board thing, go vote. And I do. And I'm living right smack dab in the middle of a state that is living proof of what happens when others don't.
Right.
Because I've got a certifiably insane legislature that was put in office by 15% of the registered electorate of this state, and the 15% who put them in were the religious maniacs and the coal freaks, and they're getting exactly what they want. They put in a legislature that turned around and cut working people's pay. They put in a legislature that turned around and set up roadblocks to science at the state borders.
Right. Well, I mean, when I was 50 years I lived in Nevada, by my voting, and I voted pretty regularly. In fact, I got I didn't expect it. It was like a card, kind of an award card, thanking me for voting a very high amount of times, like 5 out of 6 times. You know, I think it was one time. It was weird. It's from the state thanking me for voting. that's my civics plus one.
Well, do you happen to know what the politics? I mean, I know he's a Democrat, but do you happen to know where John Bel Edwards falls on this? Is he? I'm assuming he's a Hillary guy.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I have no doubt. I mean, maybe even. In a back room, he might be a Bernie person, but even then, to be a Democrat in Louisiana to get elected governor, you have to play party politics, and you can't go that. Bernie, a Democratic Socialist, I mean, I was online when somebody was freaking out about he's a socialist, and I had to, kind of try and explain to him. It was kind of hard to do, because Twitter's fun, but it's kind of hard to explain things in 140 characters. Or keep a long argument. Yeah, you can, but it takes a lot longer. But, trying to explain. It's like my brother, he's an attorney. My brother's an attorney. And he's joking, but maybe in the back of his mind there's a fear of socialism. Like, he might not have that 1% or 10% of money, he's going to miss that money because he needs every penny he can get, almost as if he needs to get it to get into heaven or something. I mean, he's that kind of. I guess we're brothers, but we have different like a lot of people, like a lot of families. We're not the same. We have different views, you know. Unless I'm not stating myself proficiently.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I get it. I get it.
Yeah, but it's just it was just him talking about. I mean, I guess he thinks I'm crazy for not at least going for Hillary. I mean, he's good. You know.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you have yourself a good evening. It's been a great conversation. One of our best.
Oh, okay. Well, it's almost over. Wow.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that happened?
Yeah, we're doing. All right, I'll check you later, Bob.
All right, take it easy, Jim. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. Now, I assume everybody, and that's why I haven't talked about it much, but I assume everybody knows what went down today. Willard R. Money. Bishop Willard R. Money. Went to Salt Lake City, you know, what the Mormons believe will be the future capital of the entire United States, which they'll rename Deseret. And Willard R. Money said, here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud, my friend. Somehow or another, sadly, he didn't get around to... he didn't get around to his signature phrase, namely, where is it? Yeah, he didn't get around to his signature tagline. Wait, what in the hell is that? Oh, somebody forgot to stop the music. That somebody would be me. But he didn't get to, he said he's a phony. He said a fraud. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat. Yeah, well, Willard, you didn't even offer people the fucking hat, okay? You just said there's 47% of America are a bunch of moochers.
Corporations are people, my friend. Of course they are. Human beings, my friend.
Right. Everything you said about Trump is true. Absolutely true. But then, and this is the telling part, then Trump responded. And it upset some people. He responded as, well, this.
Apple makes their iPhones in this country and not in China and all of these other places. Now, I heard, and I saw just a little bit of it, but I heard that Mitt Romney made a fairly long speech. And I mean, honestly, I thought I'll just address it quickly because it's irrelevant. Look, Mitt is a failed candidate. He failed. He failed horribly. The third debate. He failed badly. That was a race, I have to say, folks, that should have been won. That was a race that absolutely should have been won. And I don't know what happened to him. He disappeared. He disappeared. And I wasn't happy about it, I'll be honest, because I am not a fan of Barack Obama, and that was a race. And I backed Mitt Romney. I backed him. You can see how loyal he is. He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees. He was begging. Sure. Sure. He was begging me. And did you see how great? He said, oh, I'm not big like him. He's the great businessman, all that stuff. Well, since then, I've done much better.
So you get that. And Willard Armani has nothing in response. The funniest part of that whole thing is the evangelical guy who was interviewed by MSNBC and said, we live in an area that styles itself as being very Christian. Lots of churches, evangelical voters, Baptists, Catholics. This whole area is dominated by religion. And that's Andrew McKay, a right-wing radio host and Christian. I think they all have to ask themselves the question, do they want someone who gets up there and says that a former presidential candidate for their party got down on his knees and offered to blow him? Yeah, he got to say that on MSNBC. a liberal was once banned from MSNBC for saying blowjob while talking about the Clinton-Lewinsky affair. But, of course, he didn't say, you know, get down on his knee, you know, beg him. But the evangelical, well, I mean, he was shocked. But this is, you know, I don't like giving airtime to Trump. But it is what it is. And what it is that he has exposed the ugly, ugly, vile, nasty, hate-filled, paranoid, terrified, pants-wetting, bowel-watering, authoritarian undercurrent that has always existed in this country. And the only way we're going to prevent them from taking over this country is by having someone who can provide a better vision. You know, not a vision of no, we can't, or never, ever, but a vision that offers real solutions. They used to call Ronald Reagan the Teflon president. Well, Trump appears to be, I don't know, T-Fal. Hey, made it through. Hot diggity. Hope you enjoyed the evening. Hope you enjoyed the first hour with Mr. William Robert Neck, conservative commentator. Thanks to everybody who makes everything happen. Thanks to everybody who has helped us meet the fundraising goal for this evening. Thank you, David in Vermont. Thank you. Thank you, Janie. Thank you again to Chris and Alec and all of our subscribers. Thank you. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Where do the weeks go? And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.